This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the American Monetary Association's podcast, where we explore how monetary policy impacts the real lives of real people and the action steps necessary to preserve wealth and enhance one's lifestyle.
Welcome to the podcast for the American Monetary Association. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is a service of my private foundation, the Jason Hartman Foundation. Today, we have a great interview for you, so I think you'll enjoy it. And comment on our website or our blog post. We have a lot of resources there for you, and you can find that at AmericanMonetaryAssociation.org. That's AmericanMonetaryAssociation.org, or the website for the foundation, which is JasonHartmanFoundation.org. Thanks so much for listening, and please visit our website and enjoy our extensive blog and other resources there. It's my pleasure to welcome Cheryl Batchelder to the show. She is CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen and author of Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. Cheryl, welcome. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you, Jason.
It's good to have you. Just give us an idea of your geography. I know you're traveling today, but where are you now and where are you based?
Well, today I'm in New York City overlooking the Hudson River, but on a normal day, our offices, our headquarters are located in Atlanta, Georgia.
Fantastic. Well, there's a lot of talk in your industry about robotics and minimum wage, and I want to hear about the turnaround that you've done with Popeye's, and maybe I'll just ask you, where would you like to start?
Well, let's start by talking about the turnaround of the company, because that will probably set the context for these other conversations. Does that work?
Sounds good.
Popeye's 8 years ago was a 35-year-old brand that was struggling to perform for its owners, for its employees, and for its customers. We had had a long period of 7 or 8 years of declining sales, declining restaurant profits, declining market share. And a lot of change in the management team. There were several CEOs over a number of years, a lot of instability in leadership. And So the opportunity was we had a fabulous brand. Our brand comes from Louisiana, New Orleans specifically. We were founded by an amazing food entrepreneur, Al Copeland. And he gave us exciting, differentiated recipes and food ideas that are the foundation and the heart and soul of this brand. But we hadn't fully expressed those. So the first aspect of the turnaround was to make our brand relevant and contemporary and help all the world know how good and flavorful and unique Louisiana food is. And we've done that through product innovation, through marketing, exciting ad campaign, adding a lot of national media to our plan to tell the story of Popeye's. But equally important to that is we're in the franchising business. Our restaurants are owned by small business people, entrepreneurs, and we sign contracts with them for 20 years for them to take our brand and our food and our messages to our communities and to our guests. And so I would tell you probably the most distinctive aspect of this turnaround is we have forged a very strong relationship and alignment with our owners. Last year, and as recently as December, our franchisees rated our leadership of Popeye's 95% satisfied, which is unheard of in our industry. It's at least 30 percentage points higher rating than we had 8 years ago. And I would tell you that out of that relationship, we forged some of the most exciting business plans and executed them well together of any of our competitors. Our market share in the U.S. is up 70% in this time frame.
Wow, that is an amazing turnaround. I mean, the food business is a tough business. It seems that there is most definitely a consolidation toward the franchises and the more corporate-style operators who really have systems and processes and resources. The mom-and-pop restaurant, at least anecdotally from my experience, is definitely getting smaller. Is that a correct observation?
It is a correct observation, and there's some reasons for it. You know, in a well-developed country like we live in, population growth is really slow, and therefore the market is just not growing that fast. The market grows about 1% in traffic and 2% in dollars each year. So the only win for a restaurant, whether it's mom and pop or chain, is to take market share from someone else. And market share takes marketing. You have to invest in telling your message, in winning people to your brand through media, through couponing, through being an active participant in the community, sponsoring things, those kinds of things. So as the market share battle gets more intense, I think it is harder for the small mom and pop to compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Tell us a little bit about more of that turnaround. I mean, I'm particularly interested in how technology and robotics is playing a part in your business, or if that impact is significant. With the debate raging on about the $15 an hour minimum wage, I've read many articles about how McDonald's is developing burger flipping robots that never get sick and flip 300 burgers an hour and never complain or sue you for sexual harassment. You know, I mean, all of these things are out there. But I mean, is that happening in your business, or is this just something that's still out there in the future?
Well, I think there are some aspects of it that have begun to happen. I would tell you, in our case, the first part of our turnaround were around these topics I touched on, like innovative new food, exciting advertising, big media plans. But the next stage of our transformation as a company will be technology driven. And it will be on many fronts. We're starting to use technology in a very sophisticated way to run a more efficient back of the house. That means the kitchen. We're learning how to forecast demand better. We're learning how to plan the cooking of our food to time to when you come to visit. We're learning to reduce waste. We're learning how to order just in time. All kinds of sophisticated analytics coming to the back of the restaurant to help us operate more profitably. The second area you see big change in is in the employee area of technology. Popeyes has not done this yet, but there are already some chains who use technology as a way to be connected with their employees, send them their work schedule for this week, check in with them on their paychecks and whether they've arrived, and sending them their pay stubs, and getting, you know, literally mobile communication going directly with employees, which of course our employees are largely young people, very comfortable with technology.
Mm-hmm.
We are using technology for learning. We're very committed to training our people, and we now use what's called a learning hub. It's an online learning system where people can learn at their own pace, just like you would in a technology-driven school, tracks learning so we can see the investment we're making in our people, and gives them feedback on where they are in learning the policies and procedures of our company. So it's definitely impacted learning. And the maybe most exciting area is the way technology is starting to impact our guests. You know, about 20 years ago, I used to work for Domino's Pizza, and we had the phone numbers of our guests because, of course, they called and ordered the pizza for delivery. But companies like Popeyes never had a phone number or an address or any way to connect directly with their guest. Today, that's all changing because we can connect to you with your permission, of course, but through your phone. And so we can help you find directions to our restaurants. We can provide coupons. And I think over time, that's just going to get more and more sophisticated, as you see it is already with Domino's Pizza, where I always laugh when I order now at Domino's. I can give feedback to the person making my pizza. I can say thank you. I can say good job, because I'm literally online speaking to the person making my pizza.
That's amazing. It really is.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And one day I think that'll be true in all kinds of restaurants, where you'll be able to have, you know, more direct interaction with your guest, and I think provide a more satisfying, positive experience.
Guess what's next? What will grow out of that? Every pizza maker will be developing a personal brand.
There you go. Or at least they're going to have one of those little emojis that, you know,
yeah,
that they pick to represent them, like we used to on Nintendo, if yep, anybody remembers that.
And they're going to be opening up their own YouTube channel. And
that's right.
It's an amazing time to be alive. It really is. Tell us about forecasting demand, though. I mean, certainly if people are using smartphone apps, use the Chipotle app quite frequently. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you just order and you walk to the front of the line. If there's a huge line, you don't have to wait in it. So it's really a very nice thing for both, sure, the business and certainly for the customer. That what you're talking about when you say forecast demand, and or is it some algorithm? You know, like I've read these articles about, you know, the temperature, the gloominess or sunniness, or, what day of the week, all sorts of impacts, whether there are sports games or certain movies going on. They are looking at, this is the world of big data. It is amazing and scary at the same time. How are you forecasting demand?
You touched on many aspects that we are looking at in forecasting demand. And it is a very new world in analytics. Just like when I go shopping for a vacation online and go to several websites, the next thing I know, I'm getting ads for cruise ships and ads for hotels and in the very destination I plan to go, right? So the world is getting very sophisticated in figuring out how to get you the messages and information you need to make good decisions, whether you're traveling or eating or whatever you're doing. So we are accessing and learning how to use data to produce forecasts on when you're going to come to our restaurants, what you will buy. It's really not very scary or complicated. We're taking historical data and predicting based on history what you might do the next time you come. A simple example would be you're more likely to come at lunch than you are at 3 in the afternoon. So if I can draw graphs of when you're likely to come, then I can produce the food freshly so it's hot and ready for you at the peak lunch hour when you arrive. Over time, we may get more sophisticated. There are already some restaurant companies who can pick up your GPS signal on your phone when you pull on the property, so they know you're there. And therefore, you could order ahead, but your food wouldn't cook until you drove on the parking lot. And that would assure that it would be hot and fresh when you get to the window.
It is an amazing time to be alive.
It is. Yeah. And, I think it's mostly cool and mostly good, because wouldn't you want your food to be freshly prepared? And wouldn't you want your order to be accurate? And, wouldn't you want the person's going to be so much more friendlier if they're ready and on top of things than if they're falling behind and scrambling? So I really think most of this is going to be very positive for the guests.
Yeah. I just don't know if I want the NSA to know where I am and know what I ordered for lunch. That's my only concern. That's one of my big concerns for sure. Talk to us a little bit about this minimum wage issue. I mean, I don't want to dive too deeply into this. It's a heated issue, obviously. There are so many aspects to it. Just give us a little overview as to what's going on. It certainly impacts your world probably more than any other.
I like to call it a starting wage, first of all. There are very few people in our business that are paid minimum wage, because it's the wage you receive on the first day of the job, not when you get promoted to shift manager, assistant manager, manager, or supervisor. We provide career paths in the restaurant industry. We give a lot of people their first job opportunity, and we give a lot of people a second chance job opportunity when they're in a time of need. And so it's a starting wage. What the big issue is right now is that you can't double the starting wage overnight and create sustainable business. So I hope that sounds logical, right?
Every business has a basis
on which it makes money. And if you change something and double the cost of the food or double the electrical bill or double anything, and you've got a challenge to becoming a profitable entity. So that's the problem with doubling the minimum wage. What we support in our industry is a sensible inflation-adjusted wage over time. And what we're seeing right now is we need a correction. The marketplace, frankly, has already corrected. Walmart is at $9 as a starting wage. McDonald's at $10. I compete with those people. So the market has moved. The market's adjusting the wage as it should over time. And frankly, if we could just get Washington to put an inflation adjustment on it, this would sort out over time. And competitive wages would continue to increase because there's demand for great employees.
Right, yeah.
So in the meantime, I think the stressor that you have, if it were to double quickly, then you do have a strong inclination for people to reduce employees in the restaurant, to find ways to get the job done with fewer people. It increases unemployment and reduces the number of people employed in our restaurants.
Right,
and
true.
That's not any of our goals. We're opening restaurants fast at Popeyes. We're opening more than 200 a year. We want to offer people jobs and careers, a future in this industry. We don't want to be reducing opportunity.
Wouldn't you just pass that on to the customers? I mean, wouldn't every business just instantaneously raise its prices? got to pass that through. I don't know how in the world people think that corporations or any business isn't just a pass-through entity. If you have to comply with a higher cost of labor and all your competitors do, if I owned a franchise, I would just instantly say, hey, I can't stay in business unless I raise my prices. It reminds me of what was going on in Zimbabwe, the poster child for big government, you know, disaster and monetary disaster, is you had this situation where inflation was so rampant that literally merchants just selling things on the street or in, you know, small little pieces of real estate were raising their prices every hour. So the brilliant government said, well, if you raise your prices, we're going to arrest you. And they said, okay, well, then we can't offer anything, so we'll just not be in business and there will be no supply. You see this happen in Venezuela with massive supply constraints, former Soviet Union. It just happens everywhere. Wouldn't it just be a pass-through?
Well, I think the simple answer is if the wage were to move too quickly, you'll see quick price increases and you'll see reduced job opportunities. And there's a lot of research that documents that that happens. So it's important that we have a sensible conversation, and not for big corporations. This isn't about big corporations. Our restaurants are owned by families that own 1 to 5 restaurants. These are not big businesses.
Right.
And we want these families and their businesses to be healthy in the communities where we live. And so we have to move in a pattern that sustains a profitable business venture, or they will close their restaurants, or they will not build more. And those are not healthy for the neighborhoods, the communities, and the economy. So I think one of the missing conversations is, let's talk about how to steward these businesses and the employees that we hire in a way that allows sustained growth in our market economy, because that's good for the people.
Yeah, it's good overall. You know, it's that just trickles down and becomes this downward spiral. You have less employment, you have higher crime rates, just a bad deal all around. So yeah, it needs to be sensible for sure. Good stuff. Tell us about maybe some differences between Popeyes and its competitors like Church's and KFC.
Well, you know, I think the biggest difference is where we come from. The brand, as I mentioned, was forged out of this amazing place called Louisiana that has the best cookbooks on the planet. You know, the flavors of the Cajuns and the Creoles came together out of a melting pot state. People from 9 nations settled in Louisiana, and the Germans brought their sausage, and the Native Americans brought their corn, and the Caribbean folks brought their spices, and all of these flavors come together often in stew pots like red beans and rice, which is one of our most famous sides, and created a distinctive food that you literally can't get at any other restaurant, particularly chains. And here's the reason why. Our food is completely prepared like your grandma would have made it at home. Our chicken is fresh. It's marinated 12 hours in the restaurant, so those flavors soak in and make it juicy and wonderful. It's cooked up fresh when you come. We don't hold it under heat lamps. And then we create these amazing sides like mashed potatoes and Cajun gravy or red beans and rice that you simply can't get those flavors anywhere else. So Louisiana is what's distinctive and special about this brand. And what my chef says, her name is Amy, is she said, there is no end to the exciting new recipes we can create from this brand because of the cookbooks that have been left to us. She has created flavorful new products like red stick chicken and wicked chicken with an amazing sauce. And just every couple of months, you'll see something fresh and exciting that comes out of that heritage.
Yeah, very interesting, very interesting. To that end, what's going on with this movement toward health? I mean, it seems that McDonald's has been just really under the gun for the past several years with health movement and making their foods healthier and so forth. But oddly, I think one of the biggest culprits is Starbucks. I mean, have you looked at the quote nutrition information for Starbucks lately? And listen, I'm a customer. I go there pretty much every day of my life. By golly, it's just mind-boggling how fattening and how sugar-laden stuff is there. It's It's incredible. Are you seeing that, or do people look at your foods as, hey, this is a cheat food, a cheat day food, and I'm not going to worry about that? Or are you seeing a lot of pressure from, this?
Well, we compete in the category of amazingly good flavor and taste, and there's a whole bunch of people that are interested in flavor and spice and heat and some of the distinctives of our food. And they're going to bring them into their diet in their appropriate time and place. I believe in personal responsibility. If I ate a dozen chocolate chip cookies every day, I'd be fat. I eat at Popeyes every single week. We have 28 items that are under 350 calories. All of our nutritionals are posted on our website. One of the things I always tell skinny girls that ask me is I said, order two chicken tenders and a side of green beans with turkey bacon. Our green beans and turkey bacon have 40 calories, so they're mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
And I can get out for lunch under 350 calories. So, the choices are there. It's up to us to make the good choices, but the choices are there. And we obviously want you to love our food and come often and offer you the things that you want to eat. So we try to keep our finger on the pulse of our guests and bring lots of exciting, good-tasting food.
Fantastic. Cheryl, anything you want to say, a question maybe I didn't ask you, just wrap it all up for us and also give out your website too.
The last thing I would say is we would love for the world to know more about the way we lead and the culture we've created at Popeyes, because we think that there's a way to serve the people that work for you that leads to superior results. That's why we wrote the book Dare to Serve. I write a blog and have a web post at Serving Performs, which is www.CherylBatchelder.com. It's probably easier to Google Serving Performs. And I urge you to go there and find the resource materials to help you grow as a leader. We believe the restaurant industry is one of the best places to pursue a career in leadership. And we want to encourage people to lead, to be the best leaders that they can be.
Good stuff. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us. And we appreciate the inside look at your industry. And again, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jason.
The American Monetary Association is a nonprofit venture funded by the Jason Hartman Foundation, which is dedicated to educating people about the practical effects of monetary policy and government actions on inflation, deflation, and personal freedom. Our goal is to help people prosper in the midst of uncertain economic times. This show is produced by the Jason Hartman Foundation, all rights reserved. For publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate professional if you require individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of the Jason Hartman Foundation exclusively.